Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. We got to talk some USC Trojan football. A couple of fully padded practices in the books. We're going to talk about USC spring ball. Four practices in of the 15. We got Keely Yor right here in studio. Follow her on Twitter at Keely is my name. Does a great job covering the Trojans for us here at USCFootball.com. Welcome in, Keely. How are you doing today?
Hello, hello, Ryan. Doing well. Glad to be back in the studio once again.
Yes.
The excitement is still there.
There's still excitement. Maybe not as much excitement as we had last week, but there's still excitement.
Yes.
And we're excited to answer some questions. We're excited to talk about USC Trojan football. If you have questions for the show, you can email us, podcast at USCFootball.com. Or if you'd rather call or text us, we got a couple of voicemails to play for you today. 424-254-9141 is the number. Let us know. You want the Keely Show? I guess it's the Keely Show, right?
Hey.
It's the Keely Show.
Look at that. Keely and Ryan Show.
I want Keely and Ryan to answer the question. You want Harvey Hyde. Whatever it is, just let us know. You want Shotgun in that weird show that he does, or the what is it? Hurt on the Sidelines.
Hurt on the Sidelines.
I don't even remember all the names.
Put
of all
some
the shows.
Respect on it. Yeah, that's a spinoff from our podcast too.
I'm going to make an appearance on Hurt on the Sidelines.
Hey, I heard. I'm excited for this one.
My debut on Hurt on the Sidelines.
Well,
I think I brought some spice to it too.
Well done. Nice usage of spice.
Good. Plus the Family Feud podcast.
Yes.
Where do you get most of the questions for the Family Feud?
Either Twitter or familyfeudpod@gmail.com.
Nice.
Or you can even send it to the Peristyle. Whatever works.
Yeah.
Many avenues.
If it comes to podcast at uscfootball.com and it's for the Family Feud, we'll forward it over there to those
filtered guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
But all, like, if you have an iPhone, do you have an iPad? Do you have an Apple computer? You have that little Apple podcasting app that the circles around the little dude or whatever it is. You know what we want? We want you to follow us. Follow the Peristyle Podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. It helps us so much. Any kind of review, comments, feedback, suggestions. If you have questions, we'll bump you up to the top of the list. But just do that. Takes 2 seconds out of your day. Helps us out a lot. So that's our ask every week. Just, you know, if you got an Apple podcasting app, just follow us.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Do we have any new reviews?
We actually do. And it's low-key hilarious.
Oh, good.
It's from UCLA fan here. Green Square 1, 5 stars. I appreciate this podcast, even as a Bruin fan. The hosts are very knowledgeable and entertaining, but also insane in a good way. 5 stars. So thanks for that.
Nice.
Green Square 1.
Green Square 1.
I think I would describe us like that. We're knowledgeable, entertaining, and also insane in a good way.
Insane, yes. I think
you'd have to be to work at this place.
I think like the podcast of champions, that's a little more insane.
Yes. I tried to rein us in.
Yeah, you're better at that. Where David and I just go off the rails.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Green Square One, a UCLA fan, you should listen. You can try the broadcast too. Or, of course, the podcast of champions. Plug.
Plug.
As Peter likes to say.
Yes.
But thank you for the review there. We love the 5 stars. And before we move on, I want to thank Trader Joe's, our lovely sponsor. If you follow them, you can go to TraderJoe's.com. But if you follow them on Instagram, they usually have some interesting posts and stories. And then check out some of the comments. There's a lot of passionate people about Trader Joe's, as you can imagine.
Oh, I'm sure.
On social media. They're doing the 9 days of sleeper hits. And I guess there's a series of videos on TraderJoe's.com. So kind of stuff, you know, items that are on, you know, that maybe aren't as popular as they should be, but they're really popular with some of the people that, you know, and one of them is this soft black licorice twist. And I'm not a big licorice guy or, you know.
Neither am I.
Are you like Twizzlers or a Red Vines person?
Here's the thing. Both of those have gluten in them. How shocking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's rough.
Why would those have gluten?
I don't know. That was the one that I've discovered in a bad way that they have gluten in them. So, yeah.
It's funny. I was always a Twizzler guy. That was more of an East Coast thing. And Red Vines was big out here.
Red Vines were big in middle school. They would like reward us with Red Vines.
Red Vines,
it was weird.
But anyway, I moved to California, like to USC, and they're like, Red Vines are way better than Twizzlers. I'm like, no, I like Twizzlers. But anyway, black licorice, not really my favorite. There's a lot of people that were responding about this black licorice that you have to get. So Trader Soft Black Licorice Twist, if you like that at all, make sure you check it out. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that were commenting are like, I don't like that you're featuring this item because now it's going to be harder to get. So
that's when you know. That's when it's a good one.
People are like, people I love this, and not that many people know about it.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So, well, so you're doing that times 10.
I'm sort of like, I'm promoting.
You're amplifying what people want to
see. It's on their website, so it's not like they're trying to hide it.
Sure.
But there are social media fans that don't want you to know about these. Don't look at it. So you can check it out, the 9 days
of
sleeper
record,
hits.
Trader Joe's.
So I want to check out some of those. Check out some of those. But I'm not, maybe I'll try the licorice, but if there's no gluten in it, you could try it.
Okay. I'll see. Yeah. We'll check back in on Licorice Gate.
Licorice Gate. All right. So we have some unfortunate breaking news. Football, it's a team sport, but it's a tough sport. And sometimes individuals do get hurt. We were at practice on Tuesday. They had full pad practice on campus on Saturday, and they followed that up, which I don't even know if they've done this before, a full pad practice on Tuesday in the Coliseum. It's all kind of rare. Unfortunately, quarterback, nickel safety, Max Williams went down with what looked like a lower leg injury, eventually was carted off the field, I believe. And then his father tweeted out today that he had tore his ACL. So unfortunate for him. A great kid, and followed him from his days at Sarah High School, where he also had an ACL. Speed of recovery to Max Williams. But any thoughts on that, Keely?
I mean, you hate to see it. I feel like he's a guy you just root for because he tried so hard to rehab after that ACL tear in high school. And it's actually the same ACL that he tore in high school. So it's always tough when you have those ACL tears. It's always, if you don't get it right, you never know what could happen. And it was weird, too, because he was kind of away from where the action of the play was happening. And I know that the play kind of ended. I looked down to write some notes and then look up and the players looked like a little shaken up.
Yeah.
Thank you. You immediately go, oh, this isn't good. And then he was carried to the trainer's table by trainers and then carted around. And it didn't look good. And the players, you can kind of tell by the players' reactions, it was just not good. And so obviously sad stuff for Max. He tried really hard to come back from that last ACL, and he'll have to do it again. So, I mean, and from a bigger picture, USC with that nickel spot, that is a depth concern now. I mean, it already kind of was because Greg Johnson is rehabbing that meniscus tear he had, I believe. Now all you have is Britton Allen out there. And then you have like a preferred walk-on in Tommy Morris, I believe.
Yeah.
You have to assume that maybe you'll see Xavion Alford go over there, maybe experiment with him. Not sure. But maybe Chase Williams too. But he's also filling in at that safety spot. So I don't know. It's definitely a depth concern. I mean, the defensive backs in general, depth-wise, it's a little shaky.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look at just the scholarship chart we put up, there's 8 corners and 11 safeties. But right now, not everybody's there. There's guys coming back from injuries. Yeah. There's, Chris Steele is in the COVID protocol. I think he's the only DB, right, in the COVID,
whatever the
health, concern kind of stuff with COVID. They should be getting some of those guys back. But, the depth is a concern. My guess is we're going to see Chase Williams back there. I always liked him when he was playing nickel.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But that's a big one. And he was not – Max Williams wasn't the kind of – the body type, especially the previous coaching staff, always liked to get when – they liked the longer defensive backs. He was just someone that was gritty, wanted to go to USC, always made plays, and – you're happy when they recruit a guy like that because it didn't fit the mold that they wanted, but he's just around the ball. He's always is able to make plays, and I think he's could have done some big things this year. So it's definitely an unfortunate injury, and just like I said, a great kid, and we wish him wish him the best, wish him a speedy recovery
for sure.
So that's kind of the big unfortunate news, but having a practice in the Coliseum on a Tuesday that we actually got to watch.
Crazy.
This is very different than last March or last April.
Oh, yeah. I would say so.
So different. We talked about sort of the procedures of practice last week, I believe, because we got that first one in. Or you were covering basketball, so you didn't get that first one in. You've been out there since.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a different perspective. They do only let us film that first portion of practice, the stretching. We were pretty much right in front of it this time. Instead of like 100 yards away.
Yeah.
you can actually see. So we put up, so make sure you check out the site. We put up some video, tried to focus in on some of the individual players. You know, Drake Jackson was one of the guys we put on there. He's out there.
He returned Tuesday.
But, yeah, not in pads, but he's doing that acclimation period. I think put some Jay Toya there, put some Isaiah Polamau, Isaac Taylor Stewart, not
Josh Jackson.
Yeah, so it's like one had a long sleeve shirt on.
Yeah, that was the key for the Devils number sixes.
I don't know how this is gonna go. How long this is gonna go on?
It's like there's a reason why you give people different numbers.
Yeah.
At one point on Tuesday, there were two sixes playing at the same time. It's like, yeah. Can we?
And they're about the same size. Like it's not.
They're pretty similar.
If you had like an offensive lineman wearing number six and a cornerback wearing number six, that'd be okay. That's fine. I don't care because. Well, okay, defensive lineman and, you know,
sure.
Even a linebacker. Like, all right, I could see the difference, you know.
Yes.
It's really hard to see the difference, you know.
They should similar put, body like, types, yeah.
So hopefully they fix that soon. But you can check, and I put up, you know, some video of Robert Steiner running the drills, sort of an overview of what, you know, they're doing during the warm-up. So, that you know, that's what we're allowed to show you. So you can check it out and see what's going on there. But another day of the Trojan drill. They
Trojan
call it,
drill.
It's essentially the Oklahoma drill. But yeah, the Trojan drill of what was going on there. Very spirited. I talked to Harvey Hyde on Monday. He thought that it was a little too wide. It's kind of an advantage for the offense. I don't know. It seemed maybe a little narrower from Saturday to Tuesday. I'm not sure.
It's different angles. So I don't know if I can fully judge that.
It's hard to tell. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's a great way to kick off practice. You know, you want physicality. That was a little bringing some. Is it okay? There's a bunch of guys standing around, but people are cheering. People are getting into it. Pads are popping. There's tackling. I mean, I like them doing stuff like that. It's something I think they should have been doing more of.
I think it sets the tone for sure. And even when warmups are starting to kind of slow down a little bit, you see all the other coaches, the QCs, the grad assistants, you kind of hear a buzz in the air because they're getting excited, setting up the little pad boundaries for the Trojan drill.
Yes.
And I think it's just a thing of unity and excitement and just sets the tone of like quote unquote hard-nosed football. So I think it's a good thing just to start the practice with. And to me, it really highlights how united the defense looks. In my opinion, I feel like guys are really spirited if anyone makes some type of play. And then you get to see, too, who kind of has a stubborn mindset on offense, who's like going to put their head down and bang some people around. I know Drake London is not afraid to get in there. So it's a fun time to just watch and see how everyone's reacting to everything that's happening.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little rah-rah-y and stuff. Sure. But it's, you know, you like you said, you get some of the assistants in there, like with their phones, you know, shooting videos for their Instagram stories and stuff. So you can kind of get a better view of some of that, you know, follow Gavin Morris. Some of the guys are putting up some videos, which is, you know, it's cool to see, you know, the guys really get into it. They get excited about it. And like you said, I think it sets the tone, for the rest of practice. We had a pretty good view of most of the things because it was in the Coliseum and where we were sitting in the stands. Maybe we could start with, the quarterbacks, RJ Abadia did a piece on, you know, analyzing all the throws from Keaton Slovis and Mo Hassan, the veteran quarterbacks. He's got another one coming up that he's going to look at the freshman quarterbacks as well. But any thoughts on the quarterbacks from what you saw?
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought they were crisper on Saturday. Just seemed like a better day overall for them. But I know people are worried about Keaton Slovis's arm. He looks more like the Keaton Slovis we know. I thought he was overthrowing people a little bit on Tuesday. But overall, nothing where you're like, ooh, that's concerning. Like at the Arizona game and you're like, what is going on with that ball? So nothing like that. I really think Miller Moss is a pretty ball. Just like when he throws it, it's just so pretty. And then Jackson Dart has good movement, and we knew that. But sometimes when he just rolls out of the pocket, it looks very natural for him. So just stuff like that. But still, it's so early. That's the thing. I know on Tunnel Vision, people are asking us, well, Miller Moss, Jackson Dart, who's better? It's like, okay. It's the fourth practice for these early enrollees, and they're trying to like practice in the Coliseum for the first time. It's not the easiest situation for them, so I'm reserving judgment for a little bit. But it's good to see them, and I think Mo Hassan looks good. We didn't see him a lot, obviously, because he had surgery last year, and we couldn't see practice. So he looks pretty good. But I mean, I do think that QB2 spot is open, and we see that because Keaton Slovis obviously gets the number one reps or the first team reps, but then whoever gets second team reps kind of rotates each practice. So I'm curious who will really grab that spot.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch throughout. Like you said, it's hard to make judgments. It seems like after the first practice, you know, maybe they were just sort of getting their feet wet and didn't look super comfortable, and now they're kind of settling in. But there was a lot of there was a bunch of stretches where it seemed like all the quarterbacks were struggling to find a completion.
Yeah.
I think some of the 7-on-7 stuff, you know, you have a good play out of a bad play. It's funny. I was watching the running backs mostly. So when Jackson Dart went, I was following the running backs. He never even like looked at the running backs. Everything he threw was downfield. But I don't think he completed a pass in 7-on-7.
No checkdowns.
Miller Moss was like, and I think there was, you know, he's wearing number 6, sort of like Cody Kessler did a little bit. Like he checked it down to the running backs a couple times, but, you know, moved the ball. And then it set up, he threw a touchdown pass, I think after, I forget who it was to. So he sort of like set up, he took the dump offs early in the 7-on-7 stuff and then completed one deep. So I thought he did a good one there.
Yeah.
There were some good, there were some bad for all of the guys. But, you know, like I said, I think Keaton does look sharper. Seems like, you know, my guess is he's going to be, you know, having a good season, sort of get back to that, you know, freshman, the kind of poise he had and the way he threw the ball and all that. I feel like it's going, with the full off season and more of a normal year and all that, I think it's going to be a better season for Keaton. But
yeah,
we'll continue to watch these other guys. It's funny how they do the rotation. Sometimes you're rotating, it's kind of like working with three guys. They're really doing four because there's like, you have, you know, Keaton Slovis, and you feel like Mo Hassan is almost in like the Matt Fink role now a little bit,
yeah,
like in practice. And then you sort of have to like, well, okay, Jackson Dart will get this drill, but then, you know, and Miller Moss doesn't, or Miller Moss gets this one and Jackson, like there's not always like four people, like there's not like four groups you can go with and have each quarterback go with one.
Well, I mean, I've been tracking them and they usually get a good amount of time with the second team, at least one pass through, and then one quarterback will get a third team rep. So, I mean, I don't really know the pattern so far, but everyone's getting reps with the third team, or I mean, second team, excuse me. So, I mean, I'm curious. Part of me thought that maybe a certain freshman would get only third team reps, but I think they're trying to see who's more comfortable out there.
Yeah. They're throwing them out there and giving them different opportunities. It might not be the same every practice, but, you know, overall, I think they're all going to – it's going to average out. So they're going to get, you know, if one guy got more second team reps for a team this, you know, day, then the next day the other guy will. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, watch it out there and see what they do. Like I said, I watched the running backs and tried to chart, you know, everything that, you know, they were doing. It's actually a pretty, no Keaton Christian. So, but we got to see a lot of Keontae Ingram. Got to see a lot of, you know, Brandon Campbell. And in there, I mean, and sometimes Keontae Ingram was working with the first team quite a bit. Like he would be the first running back in there. I thought he caught the ball really well. Just seemed like smooth. He definitely looks like a veteran out there. He looks like he's played before. I think he feels like he'll, you know, he can come in and just be the starter. Like, I don't think you're transferring if you're not doing that. But for a freshman, I think Brandon Campbell looked good. You know, Vavai, it's funny, Vavai wasn't part of the, when they were doing special teams, like kickoff return. But like Stephen Carr was, Ingram was, Campbell was. Vavai was like the only dude catching passes as the quarterbacks were doing drills.
Yeah.
So they were just like throw. He was just catching pass after pass. So that's probably good for him. But I thought, you know, him, Carr, all those guys, you know, Quincy Jonte was out there. They kept rotating guys. If it was, you know, Keaton Slovis was getting first team reps at some team drill, they might allow one of the, you know, he would start with Keontae Ingram and maybe Campbell came in or Stephen Carr, and they would sort of give the running backs opportunities with all the different quarterbacks and rotate them around. And there was quite a few two-back sets that I would see. So they were doing that a lot more. But the one thing, I mean, Ingram definitely looks like he can play. So he's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, the first thing you have to know is just the health. I mean, the fact that you have both Vavai Malapaya and Stephen Carr in full pads actually practicing, I feel like that hasn't happened in a long time in spring camp.
It might have been a while, yeah.
It's been a long time. So that is big. And then, I mean, I thought Keontae had some pops in practice. I think he hit Isaiah Pulamau pretty hard yesterday. Yeah. So that was interesting. So you're like, okay, this guy can be a hard runner when he like turns it on. But the hard part is that we're not seeing Thursday's practice. So it's like, we can't make full comparisons of like this guy's getting first team reps totally because like there's always that what's happening on Thursday question, right. You know. But I thought Keyonte was getting a lot of first team reps and Vavai Malapai was getting a lot of second team reps. So that to me was interesting. So I'm intrigued by that position group just because one, you have guys healthy and two, you have some newcomers. So just keeping an eye out for them.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the receivers.
Hold on, I will say though about the running backs. Sorry, I forgot this. The pass protection drills. That was an issue.
That was fun. Yes, that's a good point.
That was an issue. And we've seen, I remember Dylan McCullough used to do these type of pass protection drills too. And usually in the beginning of spring camp, it's not great for the running backs. And USC kind of has struggled in pass protection. So it makes sense. But I definitely think the linebackers had an edge on Tuesday.
Yeah, so there was that was a really good drill. That was pretty much right in front of us.
Yeah, we got a really good view of that.
I took a lot of notes. I know Shotgun put like his notes in there. And he did it on a scale of like -2 to +2 like or whatever. Just I just did my own sort of thing. It was like,
yeah, I had a weird key that I was like doing on the fly.
Right. And but it was... The running backs had a decent run, I think, in the middle of it. Like, they start off really bad. Like, everyone was getting torched. And sometimes it's hard to tell. Like, if you're – how do you grade it if you're, like, you know, pretty much keeping you – you're the running back. You're keeping the defender between you and the quarterback. And maybe get pushed back a little bit and your back touches the bag. It's like, yeah, you probably won the rep or it's pretty close or some sort of a tie. But there was a bunch where it was just like quick move around and like not even touched. And you're like, oh, that's not so bad. But then, you know, there were some other ones that they and I thought like the new guys did as well or better, I think, than the veterans did, which maybe I don't know if that's good.
Yeah.
Probably not good, but
probably not. I mean, and there was a point where Stephen Carr or Clay Helton got in his face and was like, you need to do this, right? And the weird thing is that they had refs at practice on Tuesday, but they didn't have it for that portion. And that's one where I think you do need refs because there were times where I would mark like, okay, this guy won the rep, but he was also holding dramatically.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I'm like, why didn't they bring him over there? But it was hard to tell because it's not very realistic because you just have a bag there. You're like, how are you going to simulate a quarterback rolling out or scrambling? You can't really. So how do you judge who won the rep truly?
Right.
That's why you need like kind of a scale. But yeah, it was the running backs need to improve there. It was a little rough for the beginning of spring camp. I'll say that.
But that was that's kind of the thing. It's like, oh, are they tackling it? That's a drill. That's a physical drill. That's like you're getting pads again. Pads on pads, you're getting into each other's faces. There were some just, you know, beat them with a move. But for the most part, it's like you're engaging, you're pushing. You know, it's my strength versus your strength. And that was definitely good to see. That went on for quite a while, too.
So yeah, no, I think it's good. This is what spring is for. You got to practice and get that down. You got to improve there.
Yeah. I mean, Todd Orlando talked about, you know, installing like that toughness culture, right? And you know, that's
one way.
You getting popped in the mouth a bunch of times in a row and getting in line to do it again. I think that's a good thing.
Yep.
Anyone stand out for you? I mean, Drake London's the clear stud as far as wide receivers go. It's fun to see Katie Nixon out there. He just brings a little different shiftiness, I think, to the group.
He's smaller than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, he's not that big. Well, I think he might have bulked up a little, but he's not like he's a little diminutive. I don't know.
I don't know. I knew he was going to be like a slot guy, even though Colorado played him outside. I just thought he would be a little bit bigger. I don't know why, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I'd have to check with the guys at Colorado. I thought he looked a little bigger than he did, just like size wise, as far as like strength goes. He might have put on some muscle, but. Yeah, he's not the tallest dude.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Colorado guys because I actually had one of the newspaper writers ask me, like, how is Katie Nixon doing? And I told him on Tuesday, you know, he was wide open, had a pass, and just dropped it.
Yeah.
And then the next, like, a couple plays later, he was wide open again and caught it for a touchdown. It was like a 45-yard touchdown. And the Colorado guy responded, and he was like, that's pretty much Katie Nixon in a nutshell. Which, I mean, like, he'll have some great plays. He'll have some plays where you're like, what happened there? So something to watch out for there. But he didn't make up for it. First practice touchdown as a Trojan.
Very nice, yeah.
And I think it was worth noting, as far as Drake London, we got to talk to him in the Tuesday morning presser. And both Kerry Colbert and London noted how this is his first offseason focusing solely on one sport. And it's been a big difference for him. He was like, I can actually have an off season. And Colbert said his body's changing and he's growing each day just because he has the ability to just focus on one sport. So I think that's good for him. And a lot of praise for him from Kerry. And he said he's the leader of the room now. He's really stepped up. And as far as Katie Nixon, that was a guy who was praised for his, he's the vet in the room, adding good energy. And that's what the Colorado people said as well. Like, he's a good guy for energy and whatnot. Also a dancer. So that's fun. Someone has to replace the OG dancing.
Doing some dancing out there.
But I will say, as far as the wide receivers, it's when you lose guys like Amon Ross St. Brown and Tyler Vaughns, who have great hands, good chemistry with Keenan Slovis, you kind of notice that it's a little clunky chemistry-wise, just a little bit. And that's something that will get figured out. But you do notice that it's a little different there. Keenan Slovis to Gary Bryant, I think, needs a little bit of work. And Mike Jack, I thought he has been doing well. He's a guy who, because the depth is kind of low right now for wide receivers, he's getting some time. And
sure.
So, yeah. So just something like that where, you know, you knew if it was going to Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's being caught and it's going. But they got to work on it a little bit.
They do. And we're going to see more Drake London outside. And it's funny, Kerry Colbert talked about they've just had so many established players that there just wasn't a lot of open roles. You remember when Graham Harrell talked about they're going to play like 10, 12 receivers, which never, obviously.
Rotation.
Never happened. But now it sounds like things are going to be more open where guys are playing multiple spots. And, you know, it's a young group. There's, you know, they're all freshmen and sophomores except for Katie Nixon, who's a senior. And, you know, some of the guys are going to be third year sophomores like Drake, because of the, you know, whatever. But they're going to be moved around and they're going to play different spots. And we might see more of a rotation. It's not a super deep group right now. You know, with some of the injuries and stuff, and we'll see, you know, when everyone gets there, but, and Joshua Jackson not being part of that anymore, moving over to cornerback, but, you know, London's the dude, but, you know, watch Nixon, 21, he's fun. John Jackson, I think, had a couple good plays yesterday, so, yeah, we'll see what happens. I haven't, still haven't seen much from the tight ends. I mean, Josh Fallow was out with the injury.
Yeah. Like McCree?
Yeah, he was out. He's out there, right?
Basically, it was with follow out. It was Lake McCree and Eric Cromanhook basically doing individual reps together.
Yeah.
And then we've seen some walk ons too around there. And then Ethan Ray is. I think he's still not 100%. So that's why it's mostly just McCree and Cromanhook.
Yeah, which we don't see the tight ends that involved anyway. But then now the lack of bodies is probably going to make it even more.
Yeah.
Seth Dagey, not a lot for him to do, I guess.
You do what you can, I guess.
The offensive line is pretty, I believe, I wasn't watching too much yesterday, but it was still Cortland Ford at left tackle, correct?
Yeah, so Cortland Ford at left tackle. That's something, obviously, we're having left tackle watch all of spring, seeing. And the weird thing, talking about Graham Harrell quotes, he definitely said, like, we're going to be mixing and matching, finding the best five. And once again, for the Tuesday and Saturday practices, all we've seen is Cortland Ford with that first team. The notable thing that we did see on Tuesday was that instead of being the second team center, Brett Nealon became the left guard. And then you had Andrew Millick become the second team center. Yeah. So that was an interesting development. I know that they've toyed with having Justin Dietich move to that guard position. They've always kind of like had it during like preseason and spring camp and never really like decided that's going to happen. So wondering if they stick with it.
Yeah, we'll see. And that I think that bumped Jason Rodriguez back a little bit, but you got to see Jonah Monheim like basically backing up Jalen McKenzie at right tackle, and then Casey Collier backing up Cortland Ford at left tackle. So you got a lot of young guys in the two deep now, and one of them, Cortland Ford. You know, I thought maybe week two would they mix things up a little bit, but it seems like they're keeping the rest of the line like the way it was, and you're really just going to try to find the next left tackle. Now, maybe they're still anticipating bringing in a transfer or something, so they don't want to move anybody else yet. But they're at least for the spring. And the fact that you're going into week two and they haven't moved more people, my guess is you're going to go into the spring game, the showcase or whatever, with this offensive line, and you'll probably finish spring with that same offensive line. Now, maybe they make some kind of moves over the offseason, but I think it's a good sign for all the young guys. They're going to be able to compete, and if they, you know, have the best film, maybe they're the fifth number five guy, and they play left tackle.
I mean, it's interesting. Like I said earlier, we don't see Thursday practices, so maybe that's the Casey Collier day. We just totally miss it. But no,
Jalen McKenzie moves to left tackle on Thursday.
Does cartwheels, and we miss it all. No, I definitely think Cortland Ford has locked down that position for now. I'm curious how much of that is a Clay McGuire thing versus a Graham Harrell thing. Considering Harrell did say, hey, we want to mix and match, but I don't know.
Yeah. For the defensive side of the ball, got to see some Brandon Peely.
He returned.
Yeah.
He was very limited in the first week and then did individual drills on Saturday and then returned full speed on Tuesday, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, and what with Kobe Pepe, he that was
left early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like an arm shoulder injury, trying to find out about that. But he seemed to be in good spirits towards the end of practice when he was out of pads compared to Max Williams, who you could tell that was more serious. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Sakona has been doing well.
Getting praise from both Toya. Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, so and I mean, Helton. You know, especially the interior of the line. Is anyone like kind of standing out to you? It's, you know, Tuli Polotu.
Tuli,
making
yeah.
Some plays.
Yeah. He made a play on Tuesday, and all the defensive line, they have like the Tuli. Yeah. That's like their like cheer. But so far, that's a group that I haven't had too much time watching yet.
Yeah, me neither.
It's an interesting group, though, because I feel like that's actually a position group, that whole line where you're having a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of guys moving in and out. And that's also kind of hard just to see, okay, who's matching up well with this guy. And, you know, so. I don't know. And then Caleb Tremblay wasn't there on Tuesday. Not sure about that. Nick Figueroa is limited because I think he had shoulder surgery over the offseason.
Yeah, he
and
was
so,
just in a jersey, right?
Yeah. And so these are key components that we saw. So I think that whole line is very fluid right now, especially because you don't have Corey Foreman and Drake Jackson out was due to health and safety protocols. I think it's in flux right now, but it's interesting to see some faces that we don't normally see on that line get some time.
Yeah. Linebacker-wise, seeing some Hunter Echols, Giuliano Falanico.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Jordan Iosefa. I thought Kenai Malgo was really active. He was great in the pass protection drill.
He was.
Even if he got stoned, he was just talking. He was very involved. Always pulling down his jersey. I mean, he just was just like, it was like it was a pig in mud. He was just rolling around. He was loving that drill.
Yeah, know? There was a lot of 26s I wrote down. I'm like, 26. Yeah, no, for sure. But still. Inside linebacker depth is low just because you had Raylan Goforth out due to health and safety protocols too. He did return on Tuesday, so he has to go through the acclimation period as well. But I thought Raymond Scott has been flashing at times. He's a guy where you're like, you look at his body type and you look at him and you're like, he doesn't seem like a linebacker in that sense or what they want for that role.
Like his body doesn't look like linebacker.
No, not yeah. And yet he's finding the ball, like he's making plays. And so it's a guy where you're like, okay, maybe you can experiment with that more. And the fact that Raylan Goforth hasn't been out there has been giving him that time to kind of be like, hey, I can make flashes. I can have a pick six and stuff like that because we saw that on Saturday. So, I mean, it's interesting. I'm just curious what it looks like when Raylan is full speed.
Yeah, I mean, to have a couple names, you know, you have Jordan Iosefa and Solomon Tuilalapupu, but like all these guys just out, you're like, yeah, it makes it a little tougher. But you know, guys like Kenai do make it fun. They're going to get out there.
Yeah.
And I love when they mix it up. So yeah, I wrote his name, the number. He was, I think he was cutting in line a little maybe to get more reps.
If you love it, do it.
It's an opportunity. We talked like secondary a little bit, but, you know, with the unfortunate injury to Max Williams, you know, hopefully we get to see Chris Steele sometime soon.
Yeah, he's another guy who's been out.
Isaac Taylor Stewart, like you said, he's been out there with Josh Jackson.
I've been impressed by both sixes. There's been flashes from both of them. I don't think it's like, hey, they are the standout of spring yet. But I do think ITS has made improvements. We've heard that Dante Williams has really worked on him in this offseason. And then Josh Jackson, I kind of, to be honest, had low expectations just because, you know, when guys switch sides, you're like, okay, they'll kind of be lost in the depth chart. It doesn't really work out. And then he's making plays. I mean, he's showing why he was a wide receiver because he has really, he has a great catching ability. So, I mean, it's interesting, and I'm curious. I know I keep saying that. I'm sorry. When Chris Steele comes back, how that shakes out. But I thought they've kind of been the bright spots of like, hey, I wasn't expecting that, and they're making some plays. They're catching your eye at least during practice.
You know, Isaiah Pulmiles out there. So you know
he returned. He wasn't there on Saturday, but he returned on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Not sure about that.
We didn't really get the word why, right?
We don't know. And the weird part is that we're getting pressers prior to practice. So it's kind of a bait and switch a little bit because
you're asking questions from like the practice from 4 days ago. Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like you can't just be like, hey, why was Isaiah Pulmiao not at practice this important practice today? Because you don't know until you know.
Like we didn't get Clay Helton on Tuesday morning. So I think we probably don't get him until Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday is going to be a huge injury update. It's going to be like, can you just
like,
update us?
Why did Isaiah Pulmiao miss practice a week ago? Well, he's been practicing all week, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really. I know. It's like you don't get the good details that you need. But
And did I read shotgun or is someone talk about Micah Kroom moving? Like, was he more of a rover or something? Or
I maybe think Chris so. They were. We were kind of trying to figure it. We were talking about it post-practice on Tuesday, and we didn't really understand why that was happening. We don't know if it's permanent, but yes, that is something that we saw.
Yeah, so he's the transfer. He was given a scholarship
when
Mo Hassan was. Mm-hmm. He's the transfer from Dartmouth, I believe. Is that right? Or one of those schools like that.
A smart school.
Yeah, it was a smart. He went from a smart school. USC is a smart school, but not like the Ivy League smart school.
I don't sound like it when I talk like that. No, but I will note, though, Chase Williams has been super vocal. He's a guy who I've noticed every practice. He's just very talkative, trying to be a leader on the defense. And so I think that's worth noting. I don't think I've noted it anywhere, so I think I need to note it here. But he's a guy who I think is trying to go for that leadership role on the defense. Very, very vocal.
Noted.
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Who wrote? I think. Was it Shotgun or Chris? I forget. Someone wrote about Ben Griffiths just like booming some punts out there, which
I'm contractually obligated to not talk about Ben Griffiths at all. So I'll tell you, we've seen what we've seen in practice. He's good.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Harvey Hyde talked about it too. And he was saying like, yeah, it looked like he looked like what you first got there. And his opinion was he was overcoached and you sort of, you know, screwed it up. But Harvey Hyde's great story is when he had Randall Cunningham as his quarterback. He was also their punter and I guess was averaging like over 60 yards a punt or some stupid, like it was some crazy, he was like the best punter in the nation. And his special teams coach was like trying to like change something. And Harvey Hyde yelled at him like, do not say anything to him. Just let him do his thing. You know, like that's one of the things like, but you're good. Just hit the ball really hard, punt the ball really hard, and move on. So I think overall special teams are going to be upgraded, you know, with Sean Snyder. I like the drills they do. It just seems like they know what they're doing out there now, you know?
Well, that's the thing is Clay Helton talked about how, you know, Snyder really had to go into game prep when they were like, hey, we're going to play in October or November. So he said, like, now is the time where Snyder can actually really teach fundamentals and those type of skills. And that's something that he's good at. And it's a special skill of his. So now I think they'll actually get some real instructional teaching, which will be good.
Yeah. And then Parker Lewis just pretty much handling all the kicking duties, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't know we were going to go through position groups, but we did.
I didn't know either. You know, just the Ryan Abraham experience. Show up for a podcast and we're just going to talk.
That's how we do things. You know?
We're just going to talk. You never know. Off the top of the dome. The dome?
I thought, yeah.
I don't know.
Off the top of the dome.
Off the dome?
Anything else from the Coliseum or even Saturday's practice that you want to discuss?
Let me see. No, I mean, just I think trying to be physical, that's something that they've said. And it doesn't, as far as the defense goes, it doesn't seem cheesy. In my opinion, it doesn't seem like forced or fake. And we've seen that in past teams sometimes where it's like, guys, let's try this. And it's just like, that's not working. But no, really? I think it really does seem like the defense is united and they want to be tough. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. But so far, it looks good.
Yeah. It's not. Sometimes they say something or do something. And it's sort of cringeworthy. Like, that is complete. That's fake. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like that is fake. Like just talking when we got to talk to Todd Orlando, like I think he honestly could give a rat's ass about practices that don't have pads on.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
He could care less. Like he's like,
there
that
is no
matter.
Faking that. Like, and I think he tries to pretend it's not as bad as it is. Because he's like, well, I mean, they're good the first few practices, but no pads. Like you can tell he's just like, I hate this and why am I even talking about these practices? So yes.
And I don't know if there's like a rule change, but you know, they would never go from like no pads to full pads. It was always like 2 days of shoulder pads only. And then you go full pads.
Yeah.
And like to go the first four practices, two of them to be in full pads. There's limits of how many you can do. Clay Helton did say they were going to have them. I think eight of them are in full pads
you can have eight full contact.
Yeah, full contact. But I think you can maybe have like 10 or 11 that are in pads or something, and they're going to do, you know, the max of what they can do. I think, you know, we talked about this before. I think it makes sense if you, you know, you open your locker and, you know, you got, you know, the full pads in there versus just, oh, you know, we're putting on jerseys and helmets. It's going to bring a different attitude. And I think, you know, what Todd Orlando said about they really needed the offseason, they needed spring football to put the culture in place that they wanted. and you had 4 weeks to get ready last year, and there's no way you're going to change the culture. You're just getting ready for games. And
yeah,
sometimes you could just say, okay, that's coach speak. Like I believed him when he said that stuff. I feel like that's really what he wanted to do. And this is now they have the opportunity to do it.
No, I mean, I thought it was a positive sign just looking at the defense in 2020. They just seemed more united. And from people I talked to, they felt that way. And so the fact that that was on kind of the fly and he didn't really get to do what he wanted, because he basically said to us, like, yeah, I didn't get to do what I wanted culture-wise. Like, we had this big hubbub about, hey, we're going to hit hard and we're going to be these tough people. And then they had to go quarantine for how many months, you know? So I think for USC fans, they should be excited and encouraged for what Todd Orlando will have the opportunity to do this spring.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good little recap there of what we've
seen
out there in practice. Yeah. Make sure you check out the site. We got Spring Ball Central up. You can
lots of stuff,
lots of content, we got everybody out there writing stuff, observing stuff, talking about stuff, doing all the stuff, lots of stuff,
stuff
everywhere. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back. We got a few questions on stuff. Back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All righty. We're back here on the Peristyle.
The what podcast?
The Peristyle podcast. Words are hard sometimes.
They are.
When you talk a lot.
That's the thing. People don't realize that, like, when you talk for this long, your mouth just kind of goes bleh sometimes.
It does. It helps having, like, a co-host. If you ever do a show solo,
harder.
It's, yeah, because then there's no real break. You know, if you got to sneeze or whatever, it's like, I'll try to do it while Keely's talking, you know? It's like, it's hard to do all those things, you know, when you're the only one going. Why don't we go to a voicemail first, Keely?
Sure.
I'll play this one for you. I uploaded a couple of days ago. Don't remember. So hopefully it's good.
Once again. I don't remember. Don't know what we're getting into.
Yeah, you know, it's like.
The Ryan Abraham experience. No prep, no organization. Just go for it.
There's mental prep, you know? Something like, you know, if you're on Rehab Island, you're taking mental reps because you're not going through the drills. There's some mental prep. Maybe don't write it down or do stuff, but, you know, it's mentally prepping for if
whatever you're talking yourself into to convince yourself. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay, here we go.
Hello, this question is for Ryan and Keely. First of all, happy belated birthday, Keely. But anyway, so a question for you two. Why is Clay Helton have such an aversion to having a real spring game, like just putting the ball down and playing? I don't understand why that's such a difficult concept. If you're going to eventually be playing a game, why wouldn't you take advantage of creating a game-like situation on TV, especially for the new players? It just makes zero sense to me. I mean, what other major program does not have a real spring game? Honestly, like, maybe there are a ton, I don't know, but I don't feel like, I feel like I see Clemson playing spring games, I feel like I see all these other teams playing spring games, it just doesn't make sense to me. Anyways, fight on, get Jason the Longhorn Country.
Jason, thanks. You know, I was following before, the Pac-12 was doing a bunch of them, because you could watch them on the Pac-12 network. I don't get it anymore, and I haven't bothered to sign up for it again, so I'm like, I'm not going to, I should be watching all these spring games, but I'm not. But the USC's will be on the Pac-12 Network. Yogi Roth was at practice on Tuesday, so kind of getting ready for it. What do you think, Keely, the aversion? It started, I think pretty much during the sanctions, like when the numbers weren't as high, it's like, well, we can't really do a real spring game. And it's sort of one of those things that just gets momentum. And you're like, well, there was a reason for this to happen. That reason no longer exists, but we're still doing it because we started doing it. So now we're doing it again. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's some of what's going on here.
The thing is I feel like I'm a bad consultant for this question just because I've only been here and covered teams that have only done the spring showcase. Like I wasn't here for the Trojan huddle or anything like that. So to me, this is just how USC does it, you know, but I don't get it. I mean, and I've asked around and I kind of get this like, it's just like pomp and circumstance. We have scrimmage practices anyway, like, you know, and so what I can't add up is for a program that really emphasizes mock game week and simulating for the younger players what it looks like to go to the Coliseum and put on the pads and kind of get those jitters out, why does that not translate to spring camp and the spring game? I don't get that. I don't know. And I know a lot of this is just dictated by the Pac-12 network and when they can air things, because that's the spring showcase / game, they keep interchanging those, was supposed to be on April 24th. And then they moved it up to April 17th. And that was a Pac-12 network thing, I believe. So I don't get it. I don't get it. And when I've asked a certain source to push back a little bit, like, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm like, I don't fully understand.
I don't either. And Jason, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where if there's criticism, you know, you're being critical, someone's being critical for you, something that you could easily do or maybe you feel like you're doing, it's somewhere like you don't want to necessarily have to respond to it, but you kind of want to prove people like, look, you're doing, you know, like the fact that they're like doing these Trojan drills and stuff beforehand, I feel like they're trying to show, hey, look, we're actually going to be physical. I know you guys were all saying that we have soft practices and stuff. When you didn't have the depth and you didn't want to people get hurt and stuff like that, do a spring game or whatever, like, okay, fine. It's a, you know, not every position, but there's a lot of dudes out there. I mean, you can do four offensive lines, you know, like this is more depth for a spring ball than we've seen in quite a while. If you're going to do a spring game, this would be the year to do it. And it's one of those things too, where if like, you know, Clay Helton was fired, whoever the next coach is, like, there's going to be low hanging fruit stuff. And like your advisor could be like, oh, by the way, have a spring game. They haven't had one. That'll be, you know, when like Ed Orgeron came in, you're like, what did you do? Well, I gave the guys cookies. Like they had taken cookies away. There's going to be like this low hanging fruit that you could just hit an easy home run on. Whoever comes, if the next time the USC gets a coach, guarantee you they're going to have a spring game because that's going to be one of the things. And they never had a spring game. They were kind of wussies about it and stuff. So like, yeah, we'll have a spring game. And if that's what the next coach would do, just like that, like, why aren't you doing it now?
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point on this. I mean, I feel like 2019 was spring game-ish. I remember charting a lot of that, and that seemed very spring gamey, if you will. I don't know. I don't really have a dog in this fight. You know, me and Shotgun kind of go at it about this topic because he's very passionate about it.
He wants a spring game, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing though. If you're supposed to be instilling like toughness and this certain culture, it shouldn't hinge on one day, one practice, you know, like it should be every practice should be hard. Every practice should be like a game day spring game, right? Like, I don't get why we have to single out this one practice, in my opinion, especially when it's on the 17th and not even towards the end of camp. Like, to me, I'm not a fan, so maybe it's just a fan thing where you want to see it. I mean, I remember going to spring games in my past life. And so, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, as a reporter, I don't fully get it.
Yeah.
I know I'm probably going to get hate for that, but.
No, it's fine. I agree, like, with your source and stuff. I could see the way they're looking at it. But it's just one of those things when we talked about the administration and hitting a bunch of singles, like this is a pretty easy one. Like this is an easy single or a double or something that you could just like, you know what? We're not going to call it a showcase anymore. That's sort of a buzzword. Like if you went to Clay Helton and said, never say situational mastery again, is that hard to do? But that would be a win. Cause every time you say it, someone like complains and brings it up and tweets about it or whatever. People complain about not having a spring game all the freaking time. And it's just like, well, you know what? If you just had one, you're solving a lot of problems. So, I mean, I don't get the reason because it just sort of builds into like, oh, yeah, they really just don't want to hit or blah, blah, blah. Even though they're hitting and they're doing a lot more of that in practice, by not having the spring game, I think it hurts your efforts to show, hey, we're being tougher this spring.
Okay, I just remembered the 2019, that was the fall, the end of fall.
That wasn't a spring one.
That wasn't a spring run because that was like a glorified practice on Cromwell.
Yeah, 2019 was awful. Yeah, that was the worst.
I had to correct the record because that one was bad, particularly bad.
Yes, because I was thinking last year. Yeah, so there was nothing last year.
No.
2019 was Pac-12 Network. It was barely a practice. It was like
Shocken pulled up the Pac-12 Network on his phone while we were on the sideline and got a better view on his phone than where we were standing in person.
Yeah.
It was not great. And it was like Graham Harrell's first real go, so they kind of just muted everything for TV. It was just, I don't know. I don't get it.
It was bad. So, I mean, we'll see what the showcase is this year. Maybe it just feels like a spring game. And if that's the case, just say it's not a freaking showcase. We'll bring back the Trojan huddle. Whatever it is. Like, just, it just doesn't seem like that hard. I agree with Jason. Like, it's just not that hard. Just make it a spring game and just move on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm not very passionate about this topic.
There's plenty of fans that are upset at the program. Not that this is going to, you know, make them, oh, they're having a spring game. I love Clay Helton now. That's probably not going to be the case. So, I mean, maybe that's the point. You're not going to win them over anyway, but it's just you take one of the things that they can complain about away. And I don't know, maybe you build some goodwill with some of the fans that are sort of on the fence and then they do support the head coach more. I don't know.
I don't know. But here's the thing. If it's really a Clay Helton thing where he just really has an aversion to full go spring practice tackling spring game and there's not a lot of fans, like you're not going to have fans, I don't believe, because of the COVID issues. So are you really going to twist his arm on this? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want to do one of the voice? I mean, I'm sorry, another voicemail, or do you want to do email?
Let's do an email from our buddy Stephen Poway, who says, "Hi, Keely and Ryan. All winter, I have been waiting to read the news that USC picked up an offensive lineman or two from the transfer portal, but that apparently never happened. Do you think Clay McGuire simply wasn't able to find anyone that he liked or that he believes has enough talent and potential among the 8 3-star and 1 4-star O-linemen drafted in the past two recruiting cycles to satisfy their needs? Ultimately, I think this upcoming season's question will be this. Can USC win the Pac-12 and beyond with this offensive line? The passing game and definitely the running game depend on it. I'm curious what you think. As always, Stephen Poway. P.S. I love the random interviews with athletes and coaches from other USC sports on the pod. Shouts to the Herd on the Sideline podcast, especially during the offseason for football. Keep sprinkling them in." Thanks, Steve.
Hey. Thanks, Steve. I mean, it's...
So...
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
If you do want you want me to jump out?
Yeah, go ahead, jump out. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. This is where I think people forget that it's also college, you know? And he said drafting instead of recruiting, and I think that's kind of... Because the thing is, it was largely dependent on enrollment cycles. You can't have a guy transfer outside of the enrollment periods for colleges. And so during the enrollment period, this spring cycle for USC, they didn't have an offensive line coach. They didn't have Clay McGuire. I know Wayne Morris was a guy that he put USC in his top three. He was a guy that USC was going after. And he ultimately doesn't commit to USC because they didn't have an offensive line coach at the time. And that's really hard to try and get that top tier talent out of the portal if you don't have a guy being like, "Hey, I'm the one who's actually going to coach you."
Right.
You know, that's a big leap of faith for someone who's trying to get a second chance in the portal to make. So I think the timing of that was hard for USC to try and still get that. I mean, there is still time, that summer portion. That's where USC got Drew Richmond. So there is time, but this is where you have to remember, people of the world, that this is a higher education system and enrolling is a big piece of the puzzle when it comes to transfers. Now, someone could commit, but they're not going to be on campus until the summer period.
Yeah. And so you feel like this isn't really the sweet spot. There was a sweet spot to land an offensive lineman. They're very popular. They go quickly. They're like, you know, the first people getting asked to dance at the prom or whatever. Like they're it's going fast.
Yes.
And when they were going fast, you know, USC didn't have its tux and they were out. You know, they're still getting dressed because they didn't have
they're
an
still
offensive
getting
lineman.
Fitted.
Yeah. So there was no way to go out and ask anyone to dance when you still don't have your tux on. Now they got their offensive line coach. They're going to go through spring football. They're also really deep on the offensive line. I think 19 scholarship offensive linemen. So it's got to be a right fit, you know?
Yeah.
And now that you've practiced guys like Cortland Ford at that spot, if you brought in a surefire left tackle, what does that do to team morale? Like, you have to take all of that into consideration. But like Keely said, they missed a window to bring in someone the first time around. So that's pretty much why. But you got to remember, there's still a lot of scholarship offensive linemen. It's not like they're desperately in need of one. They would like to get a proven starter as opposed to, you know, have to develop one. But, that might be the way they go at this point. You know, they might have to go with Cortland Ford or Casey Collier or whoever, like someone, and develop them. And maybe there's some growing pains there, and keep things copacetic with the rest of the line. But they'll be on the market for it, but it's going to have to be the right fit. Just like trying to bring in a JC guy, it's got to be the right fit. The timing, everything has to kind of work out right. But the timing isn't right now. They have to wait for that next enrollment cycle.
Yeah. And these growing pains that you mentioned are what happened, and they're the result of poor recruiting classes. And
yes,
certain guys in recruiting classes not panning out like they thought they were, or medical retirements, et cetera, et cetera. So they're making up for some past mistakes in this cycle.
Yeah, yeah. This is not all, it's not like a victim of circumstance. Like, this is something you brought on. If you're like, I can't believe they towed my car. Well, what happened? Well, I got a parking ticket in January, and then I got two more in February, and then I got three more in March, and I never paid any of them. It's like, okay, yeah, so you brought this up. You made some bad decisions in the past, and now you're paying for them.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that, yeah, you brought in big offensive line classes that no one was like a five-star guy out of. There was a lot of three-star guys, and maybe they all work out. Maybe some of them do, but that's, you sort of left yourself without a transition plan to go from Austin Jackson to whoever the next left tackle was.
Yeah.
You had the stopgap last year with Elijah Vera Tucker.
And they're very lucky with that.
Yeah. That was
getting him to opt back in and having that transition go smoothly.
Yeah. He had opted out, if you remember, and boom, and came back and ends up being your, like, you know, starting left tackle. Well, are you going to move somebody else this year, or are you going to develop from within, or are you going to bring in another transfer? So as of now, it looks like not moving anybody. Will they bring in a transfer? We'll have to wait and see.
TBD.
This summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why don't we play this other voicemail for you, Keely?
Hey, Ryan. This is Curtis from Moreno Valley. I just had another thought. If USC can pay $1 billion for a settlement, what is a $20 million buyout compared to $1 billion? I don't think they want to get rid of Clay Helton. They're trying to help him as much as possible, and they spent a lot of money for assistance and everything else. But they do have the buyout money, especially if they can pay $1 billion. Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Hey, Curtis. I'm not saying that the administration doesn't want to keep Clay Helton. There was certainly pressure on the previous administration, you know, when Clay Helton went 5-7, to get rid of him. The buyout was 100% the reason why they couldn't do that. I mean, they just signed this extension. This is, okay, USC had to pay out $1.1 billion in settlement money for all the scandal stuff.
A serious issue, not a sport team coaching issue.
Exactly. But there's not like a central bank account at USC and like, hey, can we borrow $35 million and buy out Clay Helton? Oh, we need $1 billion to pay out for this. Like, that's not how this works. The athletic department is completely separate. There's nothing about the $1 billion that's in fact impacting the athletic department besides, you know, the company as a whole. It's like saying like, oh, I work for Mattel and, Barbie made the company like $3 billion. You should pay me $2 million. You know, like it's not how it doesn't work that way. It's very different. Those are different. It's different budgets, different money. The athletic department has its own budget, and there's, you know, some money comes from boosters or certain things, you know, all of it, it kind of interwinds together. But just because it's USC and USC's paying out, like, people would say the same thing, like, oh, they raised $7 billion for the endowment or whatever. Like, well, that doesn't go to the athletic department. That doesn't renovate the Coliseum.
The endowment has like its own strings attached to it. It's not just a bank account that you can be like, hello, money.
Yeah. There's not like a single, like Scrooge McDuck sitting on a pile of gold coins or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, you get some of this, you get some of that.
That's where Traveler goes. It's a pile of money.
Traveler sits on the pile of gold, like the dragon, and he's just like sitting on the treasure.
Sure, you know? Yeah.
I could see Traveler doing that. Wait, horses don't really sit down, right? They're always standing.
They kind of do.
Can they sometimes? Okay.
They can roll over if they have like a scratch on their back.
They got like
this is way a detour on a serious subject. But no, I mean the thing is that the $1 billion settlement was a serious issue that had serious consequences, and I think comparing the two is just wrong.
Yeah, and some of it's coming from insurance too, right? It's not like, you know, USC went to the bank account to write a $1.1 billion check. I mean, I think there's a lot of different stuff involved, but.
And I think this is
completely separate from the athletic department.
Yeah, sorry. And this is also just a reminder, too, of the pandemic also impacted a lot of revenue for the athletic department. It's not like they had a great season where fans showed up to everything. They didn't. They lost a lot of money, and then they're coming back to this season where it might be iffy on fans, or at least 30% capacity of what we've heard so far. But their money is not valued. It's not. Help me out here, Ryan. It's not just floating around.
Yeah, no. There's, I mean,
there are issues just because of the pandemic and things like that.
Like, yeah, I mean, just think of any company, whatever. If you work for a company, you work for UPS, you work for Intel, whatever it is. It's like, you know, if you need a stapler, like that's coming from a certain budget. If a guy in accounting needs. Whatever file cabinet or something. I mean, like everything's going to have different budgets. You can't just say, well, Intel makes this much money, go buy as many file cabinets as you want. No, like there's limitations on every department. You know, you have to reside within your own budget. And the athletic department's interesting because in universities in general, because there is that donation factor, like more, you know, there's not a lot of like benefactors giving or, you know, alumni, like, I'm going to write a check to UPS because they were great to me over the years. Like, no, like, but that happens at the university. People will donate freaking buildings and all this kind of stuff. He was like, oh, they built this $75 million building. Why can't they do this? It's like, well, they had money from an alumni that wanted a better business school or whatever it is. And they put money towards that. So it's definitely not. Yeah. They had a $1.1 billion settlement, so that means they must have at least $2 billion in the bank. Yeah, just like, no. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Sorry,
Curtis.
Trying to help you out and talking over you. Apologize.
No, not at all.
I need
to be talked over sometimes.
That's true. We have one final question, and it's a fun one. We got a picture in this email. It's a dog wearing a USC jersey whose name is Olive, and it's from our buddy Dan Class of 1962, who said, hi, Keely Ryan. Thought that you might like to see a special USC fan who's ready for the coming season. Oliver was embarrassed to wear his jersey after the Oregon game last year, but he's being optimistic for this year, especially with a new offensive line coach. But he does want to know why we lost Dylan Lopez, who is projected as a future offensive line star. Fight on and win, Dan, Class of 1962, and Olive.
Olive's so cute and got a little USC teddy bear.
Mm-hmm. First dog on the Parasol podcast, I believe. Besides Dan's that were always in the background.
This is where you miss Dan because Dan
loves
dogs
loved
more
this.
Than people. So this is like, he would love the picture of Olive and the jersey and everything. I'm not sure where Dan was getting Dylan Lopez as being projected as a future OL star.
Not sure about that either.
Yeah. I'm not. This was more of a mutual parting of ways. You get a new offensive line coach. You know, Dylan Lopez was recruited by Tim Drevno. Clay McGuire going in a little bit different direction. It's sort of one of those things that it's not, you can't, sometimes fans will say, oh, the kid decommitted. He was going to be amazing, and now he's not going to school there anymore. Sometimes the school drops them, you know, and you don't say, like, we tweet out, hey, by the way, we dropped Dylan Lopez. Like,
we didn't want this kid anymore.
You're basically not calling someone back. Like, if you ever, like, you know, maybe you gone on a date or you on a second date.
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah. So, with somebody, you went on a couple dates. And it's sort of like, you can call and be like, yeah, I'm not really interested. Or you just don't return calls anymore and it just sort of goes away. Like, that happens in recruiting all the time.
Yeah.
Is it called ghosting?
Yeah, I was about to say, you get ghosted. So sometimes. And I mean, he was a Tim Drevno guy. So it's a new position coach and something's just changed in the recruiting sphere, if you will.
I think it was a 3-star guy, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm not insinuating he's terrible or whatever. Just saying, like, if it was like a 5-star, like the top offensive lineman on the West Coast and he decommits, that's different than this situation. Dylan Lopez might go on to have an amazing career and be an NFL Hall of Famer for all we know. We have no idea. But it wasn't like this was, you know, he wasn't Austin Jackson coming out of Arizona as a 5-star prospect. It wasn't something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. We're just a little over an hour. Not too bad.
Hey, if you want to send us your dog pictures for emails, I wouldn't mind.
Not the greatest medium for a podcast, but we could, you know.
But it helps us. Put a smile on our face.
We can see Olive, which is great. But our listeners obviously cannot. If you want a picture of Olive, you can email us and we'll send it over to you. But very, very cute, Olive. So thanks.
We love dogs.
Thanks for sending that in, Dan. And thanks for you for coming in, Keely. Good stuff. What else you got coming up lately? What do you? I know I'm going to do my running back report here pretty soon, so we'll get that up soon. But what do you got coming up on the site?
We have a Family Feud pod coming up later today. Probably going to go out on Friday because I know Shotgun has a special podcast coming out on Thursday. And then I'm trying to line up some interviews with some players outside of the Zoom schedule.
Ooh.
So we'll
I like
see.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get some insight. It is definitely different. Leaving practice, not being able to talk to people.
Right.
You know? There's something about like seeing practice is one thing, and then you can ask some questions. Not being able to do that, that definitely leaves a little, you know, a little something to be desired.
Well, there's also just like a sense of casualness. You can just walk up to a guy and be like, hey, how was this? Or saw this, you know, and you kind of get some more information that just makes sense and is casual versus like, we are officially on a Zoom call and I'm asking you this question. It's like, and then they have to think about like their specific answer versus like, hey, you can see my body language. It's just, we're just talking here. And you know, it's definitely different. So that's definitely something that I still miss, but we're back.
Yeah. If like a coach is watching, walking off the field and they might've made a comment to you about, oh, we, you know, you said something on this podcast or on the show, or you say something, blah, blah, blah. And you know, just it could be a quick interaction, and we don't get those anymore. So you kind of miss that. You
Zach
know, just,
Banner telling me I dropped my pocket.
Oh, he loved doing that.
He loved doing that all the time.
He was a jokester.
Just a troll.
You dropped your pocket. I don't know where that came from. It just, you know.
And he'd look really concerned. He'd be like, hey, you dropped your pocket. So I learned not to look down after a while. It was hard.
All right. Okay, well, that's going to wrap things up. That is Keely Yore. I'm Ryan Abraham. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.